Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast, where we triple your impact per engineer. As always, I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, advisor and coach to tech executives worldwide, and our subject today is organization homogeny. Before I get into that, and I know that you don't know what it means because I just made that term up, let me tell you that I've got a special limited offer at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. Now, having worked with dozens and dozens of companies in several countries, working with teams that are spread across different countries and time zones, and teams that are all co-located, teams in the tiniest startups you can imagine, all the way up to big, huge unicorns, public companies, and so forth, I have realized that pretty much every organization, every R&D organization I work with, tends to have some varying degree of homogeny across its people. And I do see this, unsurprisingly, as a more common phenomenon in the smaller companies because it is easier to remain homogeneous when you don't have hundreds and hundreds of people in your organization. And yet, it is something that I believe is very harmful. What am I talking about? Organizations that are too homogeneous are those organizations where it seems like there's a big part of the organization that all seem to share the same experience or the same background or the same geographical location. You can take it anywhere, but I think that if we think about pre-COVID, working in the office, all co-located, you see this when it comes to having a company that's, you know, ex-mafia, papal mafia, whatever, where a lot of the employees come with a certain background. And I completely understand why the founders are doing it, because it is at least a tenfold easier to hire people that you already know, people you've worked with, people that you have a shared system of values and language. And yet, if you let this crutch of hiring carry you too far, you get to a point where hiring people who are outside of this previous experience, who do not belong to this initial homogeneous core, hiring them is going to be a lot harder because either they're going to look at your team and feel like they don't belong there, or they join and feel like they are always second-class citizens. And funnily enough, I know that a lot of people experience this but don't know how to express it. They just feel like those people who were there before are always having things easier or handed to them as opposed to the newer ones. They don't always realize why is that and whether they are at fault themselves. Now, as I onboard new clients, I always try and get a feel for the homogeneity of their teams, of their organizations. Do they tend to hire people who, for example, here in Israel, all served with them in the same military computer unit? Because, yeah, it's easier. You know people there, you already have a network. But it does mean that any outsider you might bring on will feel like they can never be as good. They can never be connected enough, meaning they can never have that amount of influence. They can't understand all the inside jokes, so they are always the outsiders. And this actually goes across many different axes of diversity. Not just people with different backgrounds. We can be talking about, of course, the women in your organization. I have heard several times from women who said that they don't feel comfortable being the first woman in a company or in an R&D organization. As an example, that of course only gets harder as your organization is bigger. Another example would be ageism. If your entire company seems to be made up of 20-year-olds, you are less likely to draw in someone who is 40 years old has a family with kids to support because they might feel like they won't be a good cultural fit, or you would view them as not being a good cultural fit merely because of their age. And of course, I'm guessing I don't need to get into things like working globally. I see organizations that have different R&D centers in different countries, or even companies that have decided to go pretty much entirely remote. And does that come with a management overhead? Of course it does. I'm not going to lie. But what it adds to the company is amazing. And this is the reason I want you to be aware of this concept of organization homogeny and try to avoid it or control it. I believe that at the end of the day, we have, each of us, different perspectives. Even if we both served in the same military unit for 4 years, we might have different opinions about stuff and we might have different ideas. Nevertheless, you are likely to get even more of a variety, a larger spread in ideas and novelty and innovation if you get people who are truly from different backgrounds. And if you are aware of this and you try from the get-go to make sure that you don't get this too big of a core of people who are the same or too similar, if you try and have this variety in your organization, and I'm not talking about, you know, even the just reasons of working for diversity in your organization. I'm talking merely genuinely about the fact that it is better for your organization, because when you get those people from different backgrounds, with different experiences, different education, different values, what you get when we start talking about innovation, about understanding your clients, about the way they look at things, they see everything differently. And this is another glorious form of lubricating your team's chances for serendipity. Yes, serendipity happens by itself, but you do have a part in increasing the odds that it manifests. Part of it is exactly this, making sure that you have people from all over the world, all over the industry, with all kinds of experiences, all kinds of backgrounds. And then you can truly enjoy the vast power of having a diverse, intelligent, and capable team. So as a takeaway from this short episode, I just want you to consider, where have your latest 10 or 20 new hires come from, and are they too similar? Should you be changing something up? Are you biased? That's it for this week. Thank you for joining me. And as I promised at the beginning, I have a very special offering that I'm not writing up anywhere. For the meantime, it was on my newsletter, and I'm sharing it with you guys over here. And that is a specific product for helping people accomplish habitual innovation in their teams. If you've read my book, I've talked about intermissions, about having this space for your team to create tech capital rather than obsessing over tech debt. This has been tried worldwide by a bunch of teams, and I'm getting amazing, amazing results. People are telling me this change has had the biggest impact we've seen in the past couple of years. Why can't my team be like this every week? I'm guessing you want your team to have habitual innovation as well. So I'm having this beta offering. I just want a handful of people to work on this specifically for their organizations and not the rest of the advisor I usually do. If you're interested in hearing more about the details, just send me an email. It's in the show notes, and I'd love to talk to you. Of course, this being a beta means that there are limited seats, but also a hefty discount. So do reach out. It is ideal if you are managing at least 20 people in your organization. So that's it. Thank you for joining me. If you haven't yet, subscribe to my newsletter where you can find out about things like this beta offering even sooner and get a bunch more of exclusive insights every week. And talk to you next week. Thanks.